Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And we continue now to focus on major pieces of legislation still in play in Albany as we get close to the end of the session this month and we find out what's in and what's put off until next year. One big bill that seems to have support in both chambers is what's called the Climate and Community Protection Act, a kind of Green New Deal for New York State. It certainly has support among federal legislators who don't have to vote on it. Senator Schumer and Gillibrand and House members Clark, Engel, Espaillat, Higgins, Maloney, Meeks, Nadler, Ocasio-Cortez, Serrano, Suozzi, and Velasquez have all urged Albany to pass it, and yet the governor has not included it in his top 10 priorities for end-of-term negotiations. In fact, he cast some serious shade on the bill when he was here on yesterday's show.
I believe this is the most pressing issue of our time, but I don't want to play politics with it.
We'll play more of what the governor said about that here yesterday coming up, but here right now to talk about what's in it exactly and where the stumbling blocks lie, I'm joined by this bill's two main sponsors, State Senator Todd Kominski from Nassau County and Assemblymember Steve Englebright from Suffolk County. They each lead their chamber's environmental conservation committees. Welcome back, Senator Kominski, and welcome, Assemblymember Englebright.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And first, why don't you lay out for people who don't know what's in the Climate and Community Protection Act? It's got three components, I see: ending reliance on fossil fuels, investing in low-income communities, and setting higher wages for green jobs. Maybe, Senator Kominski, you can talk about some of the timelines here first.
Sure. The bill sets a 2050 timeline for having the most drastic reductions in carbon that would be found in the United States right now. And it not only addresses the electricity sector, the power generation sector, which is where we've been making really important gains, and we, you know, some important timelines have already been set by executive order, but addresses the entire economy. And that's what really makes this a different bill. It addresses the transportation sector. It addresses housing and buildings. It addresses, manufacturing. So basically, it envisions a world in 2050 where New Yorkers are driving cars that are not running on fossil fuels, are heating their homes on renewable technology, and we're basically having a carbon-free economy to the extent that it's possible. And so this bill would set the nation-leading goals on getting there and establish a panel that is going to set out a planning procedure that will guide the way for state agencies to get there.
So, Assemblymember Englebright, what would this mean for industry, for cars, for apartment buildings over the very next few years if some of the early goals are 2030?
Well, what it will do is bring predictability into conjunction with goals that we must meet that, if met, are in our best interests as a state and as community by community. The predictability will create jobs, offer the capital venture investors to know that if they bring their enterprise into the state and their money, that the state has law that gives assurance and boundaries for their expectations. So it will unleash the genius of American capitalism and New York innovation.
And listeners, do you have a question for my guests about the CCPA, the Climate and Community Protection Act, now under consideration in Albany? Do you support this approach of putting funding in communities, and we'll get to that part of it, that have suffered the most from environmental damage, as well as these time limits on fossil fuel emissions? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Senator Kominski, can you explain the community investment part of the law?
Sure. And just to back up very quickly and let people understand the urgency behind this is, you know, I live in a community on the south shore of Long Island where in Hurricane Sandy, the ocean just tore through it. You look on the TV and California's burning, record floods in the Midwest, and there's a statistic from the other day that's really shocking that since Homo sapiens walked the earth, this time, right now, a day last week, was the most CO2 that was ever found in the earth's atmosphere. And so with Washington really asleep at the switch or even moving backwards, you know, obviously a national approach where everyone is working along the same timelines would be better, but we don't have that luxury and we don't have time to wait. So New York acting is important. Now, within that context, there have been communities who have frankly just been dumped on for a long time. That's where smokestacks have been belching out pollution and plants have been sited, where there's high rates of asthma and many other externalities that come with our fossil fuel economy. And so when we're transitioning over, we want to make sure that those communities are receiving investments in renewable energy projects, in energy efficiency, in good jobs and good training, so that those quote-unquote environmental justice communities are on the front lines of where we're moving to. And this is all about being a first mover. You know, we could either be a state that lags behind and is buying technology and exporting jobs and has bad air and is being dragged along, or we could be first movers and be leaders and really make the economic and health changes that are necessary over the course of the next half century. And we want to be leaders in that. New York has always been leaders in that. And making sure that our environmental justice communities are brought along in the vanguard is a critical part of that.
So again, to go over some of these numbers, 50% of our electricity from clean renewable energy by 2030, 100% of human caused climate pollution eliminated by 2050, and 40% of clean energy funds invested in disadvantaged communities. Those are the three pillars of this bill. Now I'm going to play more of what Governor Cuomo said on this program yesterday about why he's not prioritizing it for this session of the legislature.
We are now in the midst of the most aggressive transition in the country. But I don't want to play politics with it. You know, when you talk about this transition for the economy, remember what you're talking about. Fossil fuels, no carbon emissions, no airplanes, no trains that run on diesel, all electric cars, closing all the power plants. This is a massive transformation. And I know the politics now is we can do everything by tomorrow. I have never done that.
Assemblymember Engelbreit, what do you say to the governor and all those draconian predictions there about what would have to be eliminated too quickly?
Well, 2050 certainly is a time horizon well beyond tomorrow, but we have many tomorrows that we need to address, and we take them one day at a time. This is a journey that we must make one step at a time. I would like to point out that the Climate and Community Protection Act has passed three times in the Assembly. This was the first priority of our Speaker, Carl Hastie, when he became Speaker. He set up wisely the understanding that we needed, the framework for understanding that we needed to have a task force and two roundtables and other public hearings. So we're approaching this in a very methodical and structured way, very businesslike and very business sensitive. We don't regulate airplanes or air travel. We don't regulate ocean liners either. So there are some things outside of the reach of New York, but what New York can do is take care of business on this very important issue within our own boundaries and set an example for the other states and the other parts of the world. New York can lead as it has in the past and as it must in this circumstance. I should also point out, by decarbonizing New York's economy, the health of New Yorkers will get better, and that will reduce the need for public tax dollars to be spent to try to remediate and correct lung disease and asthma. We have some of the highest asthma incidences in parts of New York City to be found anywhere in the country. So this is also a public health issue.
Senator Kaminsky, in that clip of the governor, he says, no airplanes, no trains that run on diesel, all electric cars, closing all the power plants. All of those things would happen in New York State?
Well, I'll just say a couple of things. You know, the governor has been appropriately aggressive in a very bold way on what goals he has set forth for a power generation sector in decarbonizing it, and it's been great. But I think watching what happened from Trump to Obama, from Obama to Trump, shows us that enshrining some of these goals in law and some of the statistics that you mentioned before, we can make much better. We could put interim goals in terms of how much solar we want by 2025, how much wind we want by then, battery storage, et cetera. We could make this, you know, in the next few days, we could make this bill even stronger along those lines. But enshrining those goals in law is important. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know who the next governor can be. And leaving it up to executive order is not wise. But, you know, what I would say to your larger point is that we have 9 days to go. We have a committed assembly, a committed Senate. We are willing to sit down and take ideas about how to make this bill better, how to make it, work within the framework of New York's economy. But it just, at the end of the day, will be a nation-leading climate bill. But we could do that. And so, as many parties that want to sit down and help make this a reality, we are willing to do that and want to do that as soon as we can.
We're talking about the Climate and Community Protection Act, the big Green New Deal bill in the state legislature right now that may get passed before the end of the session this month. We heard Governor Cuomo's doubts about it yesterday, and we've been replaying these clips. We have the two sponsors of the bill right now, Senator Kaminsky from Nassau County in the Senate and Assemblymember Engelbreit from Suffolk County in the Assembly, and Nancy in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
First-time caller. Thank you.
Glad you're on.
I'd like to congratulate these two legislators for sponsoring this legislation because I consider the climate crisis an urgent issue to deal with. I'm wondering if they could, I know that Governor Cuomo proposed his own proposal for what to do with the climate crisis, and wondering if the two legislators could explain the difference between the CCPA and Governor Cuomo's proposal.
Senator Kaminsky, you want to take that?
Sure. So the governor proposed the Climate Leadership Act in the budget, which looks a lot like the CCPA, and I think was an excellent foray in the budget to try to do this. It didn't happen then, but I think the framework is interesting. His framework had a Climate Leadership Council that was a little bit more heavier on the executive agencies being part of it, as opposed to it's a little bit more democratic on the CCPA side. And the CCPA really talks about a hard number, 2050, by having these goals met in an economy-wide sense. And I think the budget bill just talked about a path forward to having a decarbonized economy, but didn't put a year on it. But I would just be careful in terms of what someone throws out in a budget on either the One House budget by the legislatures or the executive budget is really a starting point, not really an ending point. So I wouldn't give it the same consideration as a full-fledged piece of, a fully developed piece of legislation. But it was very interesting that it had sort of the same framework of the CCPA, which tells me that I don't think we're all that far apart in terms of our vision of how to move forward as a state toward a decarbonized economy in the near future.
Nancy, thank you for your call. Joseph in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, good morning. First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just curious if they ever considered offering maybe a rebate for homeowners to better insulate their homes, with options out there like spray foam and stuff like that. Because, 80% of the homes aren't insulated properly to begin with. And I guess if you're going to reduce fossil fuels, maybe you should start with the way the homes are insulated. No?
Assemblymember Engelbreit, any incentives in this package for homeowners?
Joseph is spot on.
the low-hanging fruit, really the place to begin, is in the homes. That's the largest sector contributing carbon dioxide, for, you know, because of the use of fuel. And the amount of fuel that is used is excessive because of the lack of insulation and weatherization. This is certainly something that we as sponsors envision as being a priority, because it affects every community and everyone. One of the pieces of our bill is to inspire investment into low-income communities. That happens to be where the greatest density of housing is. So we would simultaneously be investing into our cities basically at the 40% level, and we'll be bringing jobs forward at the same time that we're reducing the demand for electricity and fuel.
That sounds expensive. Is it, Assemblymember?
It is something that we need to do.
What's the price tag on your bill?
To save money. This will actually, in the short term, will require some investment. I indicated before that we're hoping that we can stimulate, and anticipating that we will stimulate venture capital investment. I think it's really a public-private partnership that is likely to evolve. The senator mentioned that there is an advisory group. We're talking about the specific recommendations that will be made step by step as we go forward. That's one of the responsibilities of that advisory group. We can't write all of that into a piece of legislation, anticipating each step along the way, but we can set the framework, we can set the expectations and the goals, and that's why this bill is so important.
Senator Kaminsky, is there a first-year budget for this?
There isn't exactly. I mean, the budget that would come initially about this would be kind of the infrastructure of the actual groups, the groups or subgroups that would be setting out this planning. But this is more of a roadmap of how we're going to get there, and we're going to have as many experts as we can in as many fields as we can, without it being too unwieldy, coming together to do this. Those are the individuals who are going to put forth the plan of action for the state, and at that point we'd be able to assess how do we get to where they're going, what the cost is, how do we come up with funding for that, etc. This is setting the framework. It's setting lofty goals and having the best people in the positions to help us get there. Between the assembly member and myself, we held I think four hearings, basically day-long hearings each time on this. And I was really, really inspired, whether it was different scientists or different young people in the communities, different people who understand the technology. I am confident that we can get to where we want to go. We just have to send the signal and set the framework to get there. And I believe the technology will get there. There will be a motivation to do that, and we could be first movers in this area. I didn't leave one meeting thinking, geez, how is this possible? Mm-hmm. I don't have every detail of how we're going to get there, but I know we need to unleash our creative forces, and that the times require us to do so.
Gwen in East Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gwen.
Good morning. This is something that is always on my mind. I constantly listen to shows. Dane Wiggins on Progressive Radio Network does excellent coverage, as does Gary Null. Gary Null has already written up a new Green Deal, which you ought to take a look at. You had me until you said public and private partnership. I'm completely opposed. And whenever we do that, it seems that the public ends up paying for the private good of themselves. So I would caution you, and I too have run for city council, so I know how government works. I would caution you to stay on the side of the public, forget about the private. There has been some great strides already made, and I'm just putting this out there. Where my parents live in New Jersey, a town next to them is kind of a lower moderate income, and I am so thrilled when I see that every roof has a solar roof on it. And from the solar roof, you can get your electric car and you can plug into that. And when you have your electric car, you don't have any emissions. And to me, this is common sense. And what it really and you know this, there has been a lack of willingness to come over to a different way of making revenue. We are so vested in the small handful of billionaires in the world in this country that we are allowing ourselves to be murdered by climate change in order to keep them fat and happy. So we have to just say to our, you know, disgruntled children at the top, sorry, but enough is enough for the greater good of this world. And you know what? We don't have 1 second left to wait. There is no more time. Look in the Midwest. We're next.
Gwen, thank you very much. We're almost out of time. I want to touch a couple of things real quick on this and then on one or two other things going on in the legislature because there is so much right now on deadline. Senator Kaminsky, on this, is this bill going to get a vote in both chambers of the legislature? And do you think that, well, let me just go to there. It's one thing for it to have a majority support. Sometimes even with that, it doesn't come up for a vote. Is that going to happen? Is that guaranteed?
This is a top priority of the Senate conference. There are obviously some details about the bill, like I mentioned before, about adding in different interim goals and things, that adding in energy efficiency, that we just want to make sure we're set on. But having the toughest climate change that we could do this session is a top priority. I'm confident we can get it done, and we're going to be pushing as hard as we can to do so.
Assembly member, same question.
Well, Speaker Hastie has given us the compass direction on this. We've passed the bill three times already, and I anticipate that we will pass it again this year. This is a top priority for our House.
It's easy to pass a bill when you know it can't get through the Republican Senate in the past. Has Speaker Hastie committed to actually bringing it to a floor vote?
Speaker Hastie is committed because he understands the importance of this for all of the people of the state. Our destiny is tied into our ability to know that we have a predictable climate and a stable set of weather patterns. We need to know that Long Island isn't going to be drowned and that New York City isn't going to be submerged by sea level rise. All of these are priorities. The speaker is from New York City, so you know, this is a commitment that he has made irrespective of politics.
All right. Last thing, very briefly, on the rent laws. We saw the big protest yesterday in Albany, arrest of New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams and other people over the rent regulation proposals. Both Majority Leader Stuart Cousins in the Senate and Speaker Hastie in the House have promised the strongest rent package ever. So has the governor. And Stuart Cousins seemed to indicate yesterday that she is now supporting all nine pieces of the rent reform proposal, including the so-called good cause eviction, which would bring a lot of non-rent stabilized buildings under rent controls. Senator Kaminsky, do you support that, and do you see this passing?
I have serious concerns about good cause. I certainly understand the need to protect retaliation against tenants, but on Long Island, where having affordable house building dense affordable housing is very difficult, anything that gets in the way of that raises a flag for me. Obviously, the Long Island members are speaking about that, and I think that hopefully will I'm pretty confident will get considered. But there is widespread support in our conference for obviously a strongest set of rent packages. It's existential for many members in the conference, and that's been made clear. And we certainly support the leader in saying that. Obviously, if there's a regional concern on one particular issue, I think that can be raised. But they're certainly going to be historic reform this year.
Assemblymember Engelbreit, last question, same question, and then we're out of time.
The speaker is absolutely committed to protecting the tenants of New York City. He calls them constituents. So he's totally committed to the proposals that are now being talked about in both houses.
Good cause eviction, up or down for you?
I'm sorry, the question is?
The good cause eviction proposal? Yes or no for you?
I don't understand
the
question.
You're not familiar with that particular piece of legislation, what they call good cause eviction?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I don't have any rent control in my district, so I follow this from about 60 miles away.
Right.
I'm not familiar with that particular bill.
Well, I think that bill would bring some to your district, if I understand it correctly. So conversation to be continued. We thank New York State Senator Tom Kaminsky of Nassau County, New York State Assembly Member Tom Engelbreit of Suffolk County. Thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.